This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are live from Giants camp, and I am not going to hide my affinity for this guy because he was the architect and a big part of my favorite football team, the Minnesota Vikings, success last year. And I'm thrilled for him that he has this opportunity here with the Giants. And that is new head coach Pat Shurmur. Coach, good morning. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for this this nice weather.
Yeah, but you know, back in the day, you didn't have a big building like that where you could take your team in there and go run a full practice.
So back in the day, we'd be having our first padded day, you know, and then another one this afternoon.
So we've been talking a lot about you since you got the job and how you would be different this time around than you were in Cleveland. I don't think you really had a chance in Cleveland, but ultimately it's still an opportunity to learn about how to be a head coach in the NFL. So what do you take from that, bring to this job, and hopefully be a success at doing it the second time around?
Well, you know, everything that happened there you learn from, and then beyond, you know. So I felt like I wish I knew then what I know now. Even adding 3 years in Philadelphia with Chip and then the 2 years in Minnesota, you know, you learn things. And having to go back and be an assistant again, you know, you see it. It'd be like a starting quarterback getting benched, and then you watch the other guy work for a while, and you say, oh, okay, there's something I can learn from this. Then you go back in and have great success. So that's what we're hoping happens. You know, I just think – I had a list of things I wanted to get done in the first 6 weeks that I knew would help, and I was able to do that here. And I'm certainly at one of the greatest, most iconic franchises, you know, in the NFL. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to getting it going. Training camp started off pretty well. We don't have as many injuries, you know, as you typically get this early on. And so just keep working the guys, get them ready. Pointed toward Jacksonville.
Yeah, I feel like it's an uncommon thing to have the experience that you had as a head coach there in Cleveland and then end up a few years later with this tremendous opportunity. And obviously you did all the right things to get back here. You know, after that time where you're let go as a head coach of the Browns, did you imagine that you would get that opportunity and it would happen again? Because it doesn't always. Some guys get the one shot and then that's it. Yeah. How'd you feel at that time?
Well, you know, it's disappointing. You know, you get to the pinnacle of the profession, and then they say it's time for you to leave. And so, you know, all along, I'm a career coach. So then I became the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia in a place that was familiar in a system that was way different. So I embraced it and made some of that stuff my own. And being a career coach, you just try to kind of learn every day. And then when it changed in Philly, I was given a chance to be the head coach for one game, and ironically, we came up here and beat the Giants, and then they moved on. I went to Minnesota with the same idea. I'm going to go in there and learn what I can, and just see where it takes me. And I think that's the way this profession works. You know, if you're a career coach, you coach, and at some point, if somebody thinks you're the guy that they want to have lead their organization, they tap you on the shoulder and say, you know, come on.
Do you go back and look at all the film from last year that the Giants have and try to get an idea of what went wrong here?
Yeah, I did, actually, all three sides of the ball. And, you know, I think it's really, really small margin between 11-5 and 3-13. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you watch the tape, you see evidence of a really good team. You see evidence of a young team. You see evidence of things that, you know, you like to change. And so that's what you try to get done. You know, we made some changes in our personnel, especially up front in the offensive line. I think you as a quarterback can appreciate, if you can't get them blocked, if you can't keep pressure off the quarterback and you can't run the ball, nothing else comes together. So we did that in Minnesota. You know, we brought in a bunch of new players. We inspired the ones that were there to play better. And, you know, we ended up winning 14 games a year ago. And so I think that's the idea here. That was the starting point. And then obviously then try to make every other position as good as it can be.
And you've got weapons all over the place. As we talked to Giants head coach Pat Shurmur, and I always point to the adversity that you overcame in Minnesota, whether it be injuries to Dalvin Cook right. or the quarterback situation being what it was, and having Case Keenum play just amazing football there, turning Jerick McKinnon into a guy who gets a big free agent contract. So no knock on those guys, but those aren't the names of Eli Manning, Odell Beckham Jr., Saquon Barkley. So you're right. walking into this. What is your vision for what this offense is going to be with that much talent?
Yeah, I think we got to be careful with that. You know, to your point, a year ago in Minnesota, you know, we get Dalvin Cook goes down, Sam Bradford goes down. So we didn't look so good on paper at that point, and we found a way to win 13 games and then eventually 14. And so I think what's important is everybody's out here getting better. I think we understand what each player brings to the table, but we got to do it. And I think that's the fun part, is trying to visualize how, you know, we're going to spread the ball around and make sure that we do all the things necessary to win games. And as I mentioned, it starts with blocking them. We have to be very good at running the football. You know, we've talked about Zimmer off camera here, and you know, I've been so deeply impressed as an offensive coach by defensive guys, and most recently Mike Zimmer. You know, you got to run the football for your defense as well. I mean, it's all tied together, and you know, I think that was something that we got done last year.
No, it's kind of interesting. We were talking to a lot of the players here. Now, I'm talking about the players that were here last year, and I sense a pep in the step. I sense, especially for Eli Manning, a 37-year-old quarterback, right. that a healthy Odell Beckham Jr. and Saquon Barkley, and he's talking about Sterling Shepard and then Evan Ingram, that he seems like he's younger already, because at the end of last year, it looked like he was just carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. So he seems to be a lot happier. When they told you that they wanted to keep Eli, you had no doubt in your mind that, hell, I'll coach a Manning anytime.
No, I kind of was looking forward to the opportunity. I've always admired Eli, and I like that demeanor in a quarterback where he's very calm. You know, we all know, depending on what position you play, the emotions run hot. Mm-hmm. And so to have a coach and a quarterback, hopefully, that can stay calm, I think it's a steadying force for your team. So I've always appreciated the calmness that Eli plays with. And the proof's in the pudding. You're talking about a guy that was a two-time Super Bowl MVP. So it's there. And then my only thought going forward is, let's just watch the tape and make sure he still got it. And I think he does.
And then while you surround him with all the talent and the right. young players especially, who's going to call the plays? Will it be Mike Shula, or will it be you, or be combination of both, or what? How's that going to work?
Well, we put the plan together. I intend to call the plays, and you know, it's always in close. You know, we're always communicating, so you know how it goes. That, you know, we're going along here, and you know, hey, listen, it's second and eight. Hey, Mike, have a third and six ready. You know, or you know, so there's constant communication. We're going to have a shared situational awareness on offense, you know, what the game plan looks like. And I love to get suggestions. And typically when suggestions come in and they work, you keep listening.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
I really don't care how it plays out. And I really don't care what we call the plays. I don't care what we call the defenses. I just want our players to play well. And, you know, I have just enough of an ego, but I don't really care where it goes. I really don't, as long as we're winning games and inspiring the players.
Now, you've got one of the greats in Pat Hanlon, who leads the whole PR deal here with the Giants.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there's an education with the New York media, right? Like,
sure.
How do you deal with this stuff? I mean, in Cleveland, people desperate. I mean, they care about the Browns deeply, and they're going right. to write about the Browns, so it's not like you're not used to that. But, of course, it is different here. What have you been told, and what's your approach in dealing with that part of the job?
I don't know what I've been told. I guess, you know, there's certain things I believe, and then your experiences guide you, you know, to either confirm or strengthen or, you know, go back on some of the things that. But the one thing I've learned early in our profession as coaches, we learned, say very little, be very guarded, answer the questions and get out of there as quickly as possible, and, you know, try to keep as many secrets as you can. I think we're in a new environment. I don't really mind answering the questions, because I know it's probably out there. Somebody probably already tweeted it, you know. So, and I don't even know what a tweet is. I've never tweeted one.
You're not on Twitter.
No,
okay, good for you.
So I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on Facebook, but I know that information spreads quickly, and people know things. I watch as I give answers in press conferences, and they're texting it out as I'm saying it, so that it's the first one to get, so they get their hits or bumps or whatever the hell they call it.
Do you ever mess with them? Like,
No.
I
guess I'm more transparent with that, you know, and I'll try to answer the question. Now, unfortunately, and, you know, sometimes it's okay, the answer is, I spoke with the player, but that's between me and the player. You know, so that to me is an honest answer. And, but not, you know, I'm not going to be as guarded as I was the first time around. Pat and I talk about what's trending every day.
Yeah.
And just try to get the right message out.
Do you think these players are under like an amount of scrutiny that it's hard for the average fan to imagine, especially when somebody was talking about looking at negative tweets that that you're attached to, as a player was talking about how that just absolutely affects a player and his confidence.
Well, yeah, I mean that, and I saw somewhere it was reported there were some stars in the world that were bummed because they had fake followers. Well, what the hell is that? What's a fake follower?
Well, there are no fake Giant followers, I can tell you that. And, you know, and I heard the Giant fan loud and clear at the end of last year that they wanted Eli to remain their quarterback. Did you have any doubt that you guys were going to stray away from the young quarterbacks that were being drafted this year and going with Saquon Barkley?
You know, I think we looked at it as an independent decision. We knew that we were moving forward with Eli. But when it came to the draft, we had the second pick in the draft. And so we did due diligence on all the quarterbacks, all the positions. And in the final analysis, we felt like we drafted the best player in the draft with the number two pick. Now, I don't want him to hear this. You know,
right,
he's a rookie. You know,
but he seems like he's pretty down to earth, though, man.
He's terrific, and I know you've already visited with him. But so that's the way we approached it. You know, it was quarterback, no quarterback. You know, we sort of made it an independent decision aside, you know, separate from Eli Manning.
Right.
And we felt good about the quarterback we did get in Kyle Uletta. So, and then obviously Saquon and really all our draft picks, we were very strategic about who we picked and make sure that we liked them.
And how about your backup quarterbacks? You just talked about Kyle Uletta, and then you have Davis Webb that was here. And look, there was all this debate last year about can he play? Is he going to be able to play? I mean, look, you took Case Keenum. You guys went all the way to a playoff game against the Saints. And you know, honestly, you're that far away from getting to the NFC Championship game. When you see your young quarterbacks, what would you say about them to Giant fans? Because we have no idea.
Yeah, I think with the young quarterbacks, we have Eli, and then we've got Davis and Kyle, and then Alec Tanney's doing a nice job as well. So you never know how they're going to show up in games, and I think that's why these preseason games are going to be very important to see how they function. I made the analogy. We were having a big personnel meeting yesterday, and I guess it's like a golfer that at the driving range can hit it straight and long, and then all of a sudden he's standing on the tee with people around, and it doesn't look that way. So we got to get to 11-on-11 football and watch these guys compete. They're doing a great job out here. Davis Webb has made huge strides in our offense, and I think Kyle Uletta is showing that he can do it as well, you know, and so we'll just see when we get out there in the stadium.
All right, humor me, Giants fans that are listening and watching. What the hell happened in the NFC Championship game? Because you go right down the field, right?
I know, we scored.
Right down the field. Yeah. I'm thinking, this is it. I'm going to see this, finally, this team go to the Super Bowl. And then you have a couple turnovers there, and that one sack fumble really turned everything around. And then the team that was so resilient and so good at that point just got their doors blown off to the eventual Super Bowl champion. And that's a big part of this. But I was just shocked to see it unravel so quickly for that group. Yeah. So from your perspective, what happened there?
Well, you know, we had been a team that had gotten good starts. You know, we had scored quite a bit on our first drives, and so we went down and scored, and that felt right. And then we threw the interception. Mm-hmm. I think that put them in a position to score. Still were in good shape. And then we got down in the red zone, just from an offensive perspective. We got down in the red zone, and we took that sack where we had a corner route wide open that we didn't get the ball to. So, you know, a couple critical plays early in the game, and then it spun horribly wrong on the other side as well.
Right.
So we hit a hot team.
Yeah.
And they were playing well. They did a great job last year.
The
and
game
they put
may have been different had it been in your stadium. You know, they if you're playing in Minnesota,
I think so.
Then I think it's the other thing. You know, both teams played really well at home. You know, that was the thing for me. But I don't know. I just think what you did with Case and how you guys came out of nowhere with a with Thielen and Diggs, and Diggs has finally lived up to, you know, what everybody thought he was at Maryland. We all saw he's a great player and couldn't believe he lasted as long as he did in the draft, because he's a real true football player. I mean, you put the ball in his hands and he makes plays. I would think that we'll see some of that offense here in New York, that type of offense.
Yeah, I mean, the blueprint is that, you know, we'll do what we have to do against opponents we faced. But I think what we did a good job of last year is at the end of the games where we played well, you know, you had six or eight guys that touched the ball. Mm-hmm. And the runner, you know, the runners got, you know, their 100 yards. And we were able to have a good number of runs plus pass completions. The quarterback, you know, Case did a good job of completing the football. Sometimes those short passes become long gains. And we had a good gritty group. Stephon Diggs is a good gritty player. They do a good job of catching the ball. Thielen the same, and then we had all the other role players around, you know, Kyle Rudolph. So we got the ball in their hands, and we didn't really care how. We just found a way to do it. And then to Case's credit, he made it happen. He really did, and it was fun. And then not to mention we played really good defense.
Yep.
So. That thing was coordinated pretty well, and we got on a roll. And you can see, though, where a team that's pretty good, you win a couple of games that are close, and then you start to feel like you're great, but still behind the scenes we were, you know, keeping their emotions under. That wasn't a building where guys could get, you know, too big a head.
The opposite that happened here. But why James Betcher as your defensive coordinator, and why the 3-4 defensive configuration?
Well, again, I don't care how we line up or what we do. I just have always felt like their style of defense when James was very hard to score against through the years, and I'd been a couple places, you know, trying to attack it. I think he's an outstanding teacher. I can see already that, you know, he has a good grasp of what we can do with this roster. Dave's done a good job of getting us some of the players that fit the scheme. Mm-hmm. The latest addition to Connor Barwin is an example. You can't have too many edge players. You need edge players and corners. All right, let's just call it for what it is. Because at some point, it's a four-man rush, and you got to cover them, and you got to stop them. And so adding a guy like Connor, not only the reps he can give us with OV, you know, and Kareem Martin, and then Lorenzo Carter, you know, we need enough of those guys to, you know, create problems for the quarterback. And so, you know, we'll just see how it plays out. But I just felt like, with regard to James, that he'd always done a good job and the defenses were hard to score against.
Talking to Pat Shermer on Boomer and Geo, we talk a lot on the show about the new age athlete and how to manage that guy in your position. And when you have a player like Odell Beckham Jr., who is so unbelievably talented, and he's also a celebrity. Like, the man is a celebrity. Everybody needs to know what he's doing. You got to toe that line between, all right, I'm the coach, you got to listen to me, but I also need to make sure that I'm not hammering them too much, because then I might lose them. I mean, I feel like that's a difficult game to play in today's professional sports world. Is it that way from your perspective when you've got such high-profile players on your roster?
I would say three things to that point. Number one, if you try to coach your players only on the day that you're practicing, That doesn't work, because it's a relationship, it's a communication. And so that started way back with all the players when I got here. Also, I would say this about myself. You know, there's things in this world that are non-negotiable. We're not going to discuss them. You're not going to wear a dark eye shield out here, you know, as an example, unless you have a doctor's note. Non-negotiable. There's things we'll discuss, and there's things I really don't give a hoot about, because they don't point toward winning. So do what you want over here. And then the other thing is, and so I keep it all very simple and very black and white that way. And then the other thing that I learned a long time ago, at every stage of these players' careers, whether that's junior high, high school, college, entering the NFL, they've always been coached and told what to do and what was expected. So why does it change here? I don't understand why that changes. You know, you can be a Hall of Famer. You know, I think it's refreshing for them to know, this is how you dress, this is when I want you here, okay, here are the plays, now have some fun and go play ball. And oh, by the way, if you do something we don't like, we're going to tell you. I don't know what's wrong with that, and I'm at peace with that. Yeah. And it doesn't mean you got to holler at them, but, you know, when there's something happens you don't like and you're firm on it, you got to say it. And I think that's our approach.
Is it hard to treat everybody the same in today's NFL when you see the different salaries and the different attention on certain guys?
To some degree, you do treat them the same, but I think the better way to say it is they're all treated fairly, and I think that's what we're looking for. And again, I'm at peace with that. Listen, I got enough lumps on me. I got enough scars on me. You know, how this goes will be the legacy for me and my family. And so I want to do this the right way. I want to inspire the coaches and players to play. We used to end the offensive meeting. And really, so I don't care what we call it. You know, in the old days, I called it 22ZN. You know, now we call it whatever. And prior to this, we called it whatever. I don't care. That's curl flat.
Right.
With a third in the middle. Yes. So I don't really care. I just want the guys to run curl flat number three in the middle right, and then we'll make it happen. And so that's where it's at. And I'm much more at peace with that, and so I'm not going to hold back on that stuff.
Now that Odell is healthy, is he as good as you thought he was going to be? I know you've seen him on the field, but now you see him up close and personal. He comes off of this broken ankle, and all of a sudden now the explosiveness is back.
Yeah, he's actually been a joy for me. And again, we've all talked a lot about the clean slate, new coach, new players. We're going to get together. We're going to figure it out from here. He's been great. I mean, behind the scenes, he gets it. He's very engaged. This guy loves football, and it's obvious by the way he practices out here. And I can't wait to see him in real live action.
You said something just before that was very interesting. You said, how this goes is going to be the legacy for me and my family, so I want to do it right. And for me, like when I hear that, I'm like, oh my God, the pressure, right? Right. But you, it seems like you're using that as a motivational factor, as a positive.
Right.
How do you make sure it doesn't swing to the point where something doesn't go right for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden that thought is creeping into your head, like, this isn't going the way I want it to? I mean, that's got to be, for me, I'm just speaking for myself. That would be a difficult thing for me. How do you make sure that doesn't happen to you?
I'm not worried about that. In the rare occasion we lose a game, you know, you just deal with it and you move on to the next one. You know what I mean?
That's music for giant fans' ears.
So, you know, that's, you just don't worry about that. You know, you get here early, go home late, and, you know, you try to inspire your coaches to do what they can do, inspire the players to play hard, and then given the opportunity to make decisions for your team, you try to be smart about it.
What was it like when you first walked into John Mara's office and you sat down and you were being interviewed for the job?
The first time we met was actually in Minneapolis, and but you know, I sort of had to pinch myself, having been 13 years in Philadelphia. I knew
he's going to be a coach. That's a coach right there for you. Go ahead.
So watching some ridiculous movie. Yes, right.
And you know, and I could see all the landmarks as we were coming up the turnpike, you know, to, and then we'd get here and we'd see the stadium. I really felt like if we beat the Giants, we could be on our way. That was just me. You know, I was well aware of the history of this place, and so I was thrilled. I had to pinch myself, and then, you know, when then John called and offered me the job, there was no delay.
Mm-hmm.
There was no delay.
All right, so last one from me. The thing that you came into this job that you probably weren't expecting, that when you showed up, you said, wow, this is a bigger deal than I thought it was going to be. Is there something that you can pinpoint there?
No, I think when you walk in the building, like when I walked in the building, you walk by four Super Bowl trophies, you know, and I hadn't been in a building that was the case. So immediately, like, okay, just showing you this is in our DNA.
Right.
And so get to work. So as you walk up those steps, you start to say, okay, it's time to get to work.
I know you moved here to New Jersey. I'm not going to say where. I'm just wondering, are people starting to recognize you?
A little bit.
And what are the comments? What are the suggestions?
Well, it's good now, right?
Yes.
They're super passionate.
Right.
But I already have a long list of suggestions.
Yeah.
On what to call and what to do.
Right.
If you need a play, I got one for you.
Okay.
So, no, it's been great. The fans are passionate. We've had a lot of fans here to watch practice. It's very obvious to me. Like, I was talking to one fan, he says, you know, I haven't been a fan for very long. He said, only since 1962, you know. So there's, you know, this is the fabric of the NFL and all that's good about the NFL, and very fortunate to be the coach.
Pat, thanks for the time this morning. Really do appreciate it, and we're rooting for you. Thanks.
All right. Good luck, appreciate to you, Pat. Great it. To all see right, you, man. Care. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.